From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is our second hour. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. Producer Lizzie Steele is a genius on the telephone and the radio
equipment. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. You're the best for technology. And so we do wish everyone a good morning. It's a beautiful, lovely day out there. Lovely weather. No rainfall expected through Tuesday or Wednesday. And then everybody has a shot at it throughout the state. So North Florida, South Florida, Central Florida, you're going to be getting rain next week. And we desperately need it. So we're doing really well about this. No hurricanes being in the works right now. So that's good. June 1st. Started hurricane season. And so you do want to make sure, though, that if you have trees that need taken care of so that they don't damage your house during a storm, get it done now, especially when we don't have a storm approaching. So you want to check that out. Let's do the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is sucker. Last week, we had a phone call from a listener who wanted to know, you know, if he should cut off the suckers that were coming, are growing out of the bottom of the plant. So a sucker is a new plant that grows from the root of an existing tree or shrub rather than from a seed. It may appear at the base of the plant or some distance away. Suckers often develop when exposed roots are damaged by mowing or injury, and they can also grow roots from the cut from a cut down tree. Because tree roots typically extend 1.5 to 2 times the height of the tree, these sprouts may emerge far away from the trunk. This is a form of natural vegetative reproduction that enables plant propagation. Each root is a clone of the original plant and has the same genome. Plants that reproduce this way include raspberries and blackberries, blueberries and pineapples, bananas and apple, cherry, plum, pears, guava, privet, bay laurel, elms, some roses, bromeliads, aloe, and agaves, and yuccas. Suckers act as a dispersal mechanism that help plants spread to habitats favorable for survival and growth. Some species, such as poplars and blackthorn, produce root sprouts that spread quickly and form dense root mats, allowing them to reclaim land cleared by logging, erosion, or grazing. The giant aspen, pando, is a striking example. Although these plants may be considered invasive, they are sometimes cultivated and allowed to grow because they stabilize soil and later are replaced naturally by non-pioneer species, especially in areas disturbed by public works or along waterways and reservoirs prone to flooding. By creating shade, they also provide conditions in which other species can establish and gradually take their place. On grafted plants, such as fruit trees, roses, and other ornamentals, the graft union is the point where the desired variety is joined to a rootstock. The rootstock is chosen for traits like size control, hardiness, or disease resistance, not for producing the fruit or flowers you want. Suckers are shoots that grow often below the graft union. They are not part of the plant and will produce a different plant type, which may be smaller, less hardy, or unsuitable for your needs. So the dirty word of the day is sucker. And this hour, after the interview with the Manatee River Garden Club President Melanie Kester, I'm going to give you key reasons to remove suckers from your plants. So we're going to be doing that. Also, too, the weather is lovely. It is a wonderful time to plant. You want to make sure that you're using plants that are suitable for your area, suitable for the sunlight conditions. You want to check your sunlight. Do you have sunlight from all day long, 6 to 8 hours or more? Then you have full sunlight conditions, and you want to make sure your plants can handle that. If you have sunlight from 5 to 6 hours, either morning sun, afternoon sun, morning shade, then you want to use plants that can handle those conditions. And if you have 5 hours of less, then you want to have plants that can handle full shade. Turf does not grow well in conditions with 5 hours or less unless you use a shade-tolerant St. Augustine grass or a zoysia grass that will take those conditions. Bahia grass will not grow in the shade very well. It will definitely just start to decline as you put it in. So you want to make sure you have the right sunlight conditions for your plant. You want to make sure you have the right soil moisture. How wet does the ground stay? We have our xeric conditions, which are considered very sandy, and we find those in the middle of the state, central Florida, down through Polk County and down below Lake Okeechobee there. They're really dry conditions. On the coastline, you want to make sure you have the right pH so that the plants, if you're on the beach area close to alkaline conditions, salt water, spray or water, then you want to make sure you have plants that can handle that too as well. So check the pH of your soil, and always before fertilizing, get a soil test. You know, once a year is fine because soil conditions can change. So you definitely want to make sure that you are getting a soil test. Coming up, we have president of the Manatee River Garden Club, Melanie Kester. She is going to talk about the project they are promoting for National Gardening Week. She comes up next. This is Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Melanie Kester's love of gardening began early, from planting her first vegetable garden in third grade to quietly scattering hibiscus seeds around her hometown as a child. She is the president of the Manatee River Garden Club in Bradenton, Manatee County, and she's a certified horticulturist whose work is focused on interior plants and later the orchid industry. Her passion for orchids runs deep. She once had a car full of co-workers stop on Alligator Alley so she could rescue an epiphytic encyclia orchid from a tree. Excuse me. I asked Melanie to join us today to talk about the Manatee River Gardens Club outreach for National Gardening Week, June 7th through the 13th. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for coming on Better Lawns and Gardens. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I will tell you, I was thrilled when I saw your Facebook post, and I thought it was such a wonderful idea. I wanted to have you come on. And so you're the current president of the Manatee River Garden Club. So tell us where you're based and a little bit about the club.
Yes, well, we are in Bradenton. We are between Tampa and Sarasota, for those listeners who are not familiar with Bradenton. We are right on the banks of the Manatee River, hence the name of our club. And we've been a part of Bradenton for a century now. And we're just a vibrant community of people who love nature. We are involved in our community from everything such as funding student scholarships to restoring native habitats. And, we welcome all Floridians,
Wonderful.
Native born and newcomers.
That's great. So National Gardening Week runs June 7th through the 13th. Your club has a special campaign planned. So how is your club promoting National Gardening Week?
So we are taking an approach that we're calling Random Acts of Gardening. And if you think of it like a pay it forward kind of a thing, it makes more sense. It's just about taking something really simple, like maybe, sharing a fresh flower bouquet from your own garden, maybe, sharing some seeds of things that you've collected yourself, or even just helping a neighbor weed their flower beds. But the idea is just to brighten someone else's day and to build community and, spread joy through nature.
I think that is a wonderful idea, and I think it's something that everyone can participate. So do you have to be a gardener to do this?
Oh, goodness, no, goodness, no. You just need to be a human being with a heart. I mean, you know, you don't even need a green thumb or a backyard. It's, you know, go and buy some flowers or even produce, you know, at a local farmer's market. You know, you can do things like, you know, like I said, share some seeds from your own plants. You can take cuttings. My gosh, you can take, you know, the green onions from your groceries and clip them off and then pop them in a vase and watch them grow. And, you know, kids love to watch that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the kind of random acts of gardening that we're envisioning.
Something that doesn't take a lot of time, and it just is not something you're tied to for, you know, weeks and weeks, but just to brighten someone's day. I think that is so wonderful. So you're asking them, how do they share what they do with your Manatee River Garden Club?
Well, you know, like I said, you don't even need to be a gardener or, you know, gosh, even own a trowel to participate. Just, you know, give something that's beautiful. Give a plant a cutting, you know, divide your bromeliads. You know, ask a neighbor, you know, can I help you weed or, you know, anything like that. And we have a hashtag, and, you know, it's random acts of gardening. And, you know, just take a snapshot and tag us.
Right. Tag you and then share it on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest. Hashtag yes. Random acts of gardening. That is wonderful. And so, you have other community programs and projects. What else does your garden club do?
Well, you know, we have just recently finished a partnership with Habitat for Humanity, and they had a community of, oh, I don't know, I would guess it was about 36 homes that they were building, and, you know, we helped those homeowners, you know, pick out plants that made sense for their particular location. And some people just, they didn't want a garden or even plants in their landscape. And so we helped them with earth boxes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That works.
I mean, it's so easy. But, you know, there's a lot of people that just have never done anything like that, and so they just need a little bit of a guiding hand, and, you know, and some reassurance, and voila, they're gardeners.
And it happens just like that. It does. So if someone is listening in Bradenton or Manatee River County, how can they come to a meeting or join your club? Because I recommend that for everyone moving to Florida that would like to learn about landscaping, and they did it up north, but they don't know what they're doing down here. Yeah. I recommend everyone join a garden club, local garden club. How do they do that in Bradenton and Manatee River County?
Well, so Manatee River Garden Club is here in Bradenton, but we also have other federated garden clubs. There's the Lakewood Ranch Garden Club, and then there's the Gardeners Out East. And all you need to do is, you know, just get on the internet and type in Garden Club Bradenton, Florida, and you'll find one of us three. And, you know, and being part of a federated garden club is, my goodness, I could talk for hours about what a wonderful opportunity that is. And like you said, you know, you move here and it's just so different from what we did up north.
And so where are you from up north?
I'm actually originally from Ohio.
Oh, there you go. Okay, super. And so I want you to go through and explain a little bit about your orchid adventure. You actually protected one. Tell us about that.
So at the time, I was working for a Fortune 50 insurance company in Miami, and this was just after 9/11, and, you know, no one was flying. And we had a meeting in Tampa. So we all had to carpool and drive from Miami up to Tampa. And on the way to Tampa, I saw this area that was being, you know, being cleared. And I kind of made a mental note of it. And on the way back, you know, I don't know, maybe 2 days later, I thought to myself, you know, that sure looked like prime habitat for the encyclias. And so we approach it, and I said, you know, you guys, if you don't mind, can we just stop for like maybe 10 minutes? And, oh, okay, sure. And So there I was in my suit, and back then we had to wear pantyhose. And I shimmied right up that live oak tree and peeled off that encyclia. And sure enough, the next time I drove through there, it was all gone.
All gone. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am so glad you did that. And I think it's pretty standard. I would wish it was pretty standard that when they're clearing property, they do go through and check for native trees and also, very rare species. So I would hope they do that now. I'm sure they probably didn't do that back then. So Melanie, give us your website again.
www.manateerivergardenclub.com.
And when are your meetings?
We meet from September through May, and it is always the third Wednesday of the month at 10:30. And then we have a lovely lunch, and everyone is always welcome to stay for lunch with us.
That's wonderful. So they can just come and try out your club and just meet and see how they get along. That would be wonderful. Melanie, thank you so much. I'm going to be posting your Facebook post so that everybody can let you know about their random act of gardening. And next week, next Saturday, if people would like to just hashtag the Manatee River Garden Club and then tell everybody what they did for the week. Just one little random act of gardening, Melanie can just save the world.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. I just thought that was such a great idea. And she's got in her genes, in her blood, saving plants and doing random acts of gardening like that, to saving an orchid. And so I'm so glad she did that. Random acts of gardening, you can do that with children. Mm-hmm. You can do it with a nursing home, with your work.
Yes. Yep, definitely. So, yeah, I love that. And I love it's like, I don't know, sometimes whenever you tell people about gardening, it seems like a scary thing, like a very detailed, oriented, and babysitting kind of thing. And, it sounds like you could actually teach somebody that, just start with one small thing.
That's right. Just start with one little small thing. Yes. Bring somebody some flowers. Mm-hmm. Plant some zinnias.
Yes.
A tomato, a pepper, and watch it grow. Mm-hmm. This week we did some random. Replant some shrubs in a larger pot. So I mean, it was so good to get your hands in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It just is wonderful.
Yes.
So I thank Melanie Kester. She is the president of the Manatee River Garden Club, and that website is manateerivergardenclub.com. Or if you're interested anywhere in the country, in the world, you can find a local gardening club or association, no matter where you are.
That's true.
We have a lot of listeners all over the world, and Singapore, and then also, Peru. I mean, Peru.
Right.
So you can find a garden club, a local garden club. To one, if you are a gardener, you can share your knowledge. Or two, if you're not a gardener, you can learn about gardening.
Yes.
And it's so beneficial for your health. Mm-hmm. You feel better. And it's good for the world. I think if we gardened more, the world would be a better place.
Oh, 100%. Also, and if you should just go into one of the box stores and find some seeds now for the fall.
That's it. Start getting those catalogs going through so you get the ones you want and not stuck with the ones that nobody wants. Do that. Linda in Zone 8B, she said, when starting your cuttings in water, would it be helpful to add a touch of some root hormones and root enhancer? No. Let me explain why, Linda, real quickly. One, because when you put it in the water, it dilutes it and the plant doesn't get the benefit of it. Also, two, it can make your water, it can kind of cause disease issues in a bacteria when you put the hormone in it. So don't do it. You want to do root tone or root hormones on your cuttings, do it before, let it dry for a couple of hours, and then place it in water. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is now the time for your gardening question. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680, like Andrea from Lady Lake just did. She talked about she wanted to know about the bamboo gloves for Father's Day. And it's a great idea. I just think it's just wonderful. You can go onto our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and all five of the my recommendations for Father's Day gifts are up there. And you can see the bamboo gloves and click right on the link and it'll take you to the website. And you can do that. So thank you, Andrea, for the text message. That's great. So in the first hour, we talked about, this hour we talked about suckers and how to remove them. And so these are the key reasons why you should do it. You want to prevent unwanted plant types. So suckers grow from the rootstock, but if they're left on the plant, they will take over the plant and produce flowers and fruit that are not the same variety. There's going to be something different about them. They may not produce enough. They may produce something that tastes totally different or not good at all. So that's definitely one of the reasons why you cut suckers off, to prevent unwanted plants. But also, you want to save energy and resources for the plant. So suckers compete with the actual living shoot for water and nutrients and sunlight. And so this can weaken the main plant and the graft and reduce fruiting potential. Also, to graft failure, if the suckers are growing from the rootstock, this may indicate that your graft did not take and that only the bottom portion of your graft is surviving. And so poor formation or damage, which could lead the whole plant to die. Removing suckers keeps the plant's energy focused on the desired branches and fruiting wood, leading to a healthier growth. And then preventing overcrowding. Suckers, especially like underneath an oak tree where we have those surface roots, and you mow over the surface roots, you have all of those little oak trees coming up all the way around it. So suckers can form dense clusters that block sunlight and airflow, increasing disease and then also reducing the overall plant. So you want to make sure that you don't do that. Now, if you have the suckers on the oak tree that are coming up, you can use a product called Sucker Stopper. Follow the label, the instructions, more is not better, and it will reduce the amount of suckers coming up. But definitely do not mow underneath an oak tree, nicking those surface roots, because then you're going to get the suckers coming up. Keep a wide barrier circle mulched so that you don't have to mow it. So how do you remove them? Well, you identify the graft union. It can be either a bump, a knot. You can even see a color change, that it's a totally different part of the plant just above the soil line. Then you cut those suckers as close to the base as possible, removing as much of the shoot you can. And then if you remove them promptly when they appear, especially in early spring and summer, they're going to be smaller and a little bit more tender, easier to cut off. And then you dispose of the removed suckers to prevent regrowth. So again, that product is called Sucker Stopper. You can get it at the hardware stores, online. You know, you can go to just Google Sucker Stopper and it will come up. So we do appreciate that question about Sucker Stoppers. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let me know what's going on in your neighborhood, in your backyard. If you do a random act of gardening this week in celebration of National Gardening Week, then go ahead and post it on betterlawns.garden with the hashtag random act of gardening, and then also hashtag Manatee River Garden Club. And let us know what you do, because I think that's so sweet. You can, again, plant some zinnias that will do well during the summertime, or a ground cover. And then also take a neighbor a little flower vase of just a few flowers.
Definitely.
Mow someone's yard for them that they haven't been able to get to. Please take care of your neighbors.
Yes, you know, obviously first ask permission before you go on anybody's property, especially in the state of Florida.
Exactly. Exactly.
You never know. You never know. But also, yeah, I think it's a good act of kindness. And we kind of get really busy with the amount of technology we have alone, just totally redirects our mind everywhere else. Mm-hmm. That this is what she was saying, is it definitely a good idea. Let's just stop for a second. You know, let's just stop and let's think, okay, and look around.
Exactly.
Who lives around you? Do you even know your neighbors?
That's a big part of it. Yes. That's a really big thing.
And I'm at fault because we had new neighbors that just bought property next to us, and I met the wife, but I never got back with her to give her our information. And that was like 3 months ago. And so you're all right, and she is right. This is actually a good idea. So whenever I get home today, I may actually hang something over the fence, you know, to basically reintroduce myself, but share a little bit of the stuff that we've been doing.
That's wonderful. Onions. You could always give her some onions.
Girl, let me tell you, I got onions by the grace of God coming out of every spot in my yard.
I think that's wonderful. Are they a particular kind of onion?
I did random this year. I did Vidalia. I did like sweet onions, white onions, red onions.
Okay.
So, and then my cayenne peppers?
Yes.
My cayenne peppers are coming out. My habaneros, my jalapenos. And I don't even eat any of that stuff. I eat
Gary
onions.
Bachman would be so proud of you.
You know, I'm just trying to grow up to be like Gary one day. I'm going to be just as good as him.
He is wonderful. I'm sure. And he will let you. He will help you do that. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I will tell you, I have been having so much fun with, you know, I'm designing a landscape that I'm putting a meadow in. And just going through and deciding on which of the wildflowers we want to plant in it. And just creating a meadow in a large, just a grassy area.
Okay, that's what I'm in my next step after. We have our 30th wedding anniversary coming up this next weekend. But after that, I'm planting sunflowers in an area and trying to figure that out for our photos, for our fall photos, for our
family
photos.
Isn't that going to be wonderful?
Well, if I can get... keep the dogs out of it, and then that would be great.
So, and how's your turkeys doing?
They are doing stupendous. They're still alive, getting fat and sassy.
That is wonderful. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a phone, a question, gardening question, give us a call. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And I would love to hear about your random acts of gardening. And we'll be right back. Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Let's go to Colette in Winter Haven. Good morning, Colette. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Teresa. Yeah, I've got some amaryllis plants that I noticed yesterday. You know, just the leaves, of course, are left at this point. Something is stripping the finish off of the leaves. I mean, the leaf is still there. It doesn't have holes in it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a couple holes somewhere. But if the dark green part, it's like striped.
Yes.
Any idea what's doing that?
Yes. That's a rust disease. And it happens frequently in amaryllis. But you're not going to be able to do anything about it. It is actually in the amaryllis plant. So what I suggest is that... one, just wait until the leaves grow down and you can cut them off, okay? Once they've been, I would say, 2 or 3 months, and then you can cut them off this summer sometime. But next year, I want you to make sure you note the location of it. See if it comes back, because sometimes it alternates and it doesn't come back every single year. But I have it in my yard. I see them sometimes, and then the next couple of years, I don't see it, and then it'll come back again. It is a rust disease in the actual amaryllis, and it happens. But there's nothing you can do about
it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And the other question I had was, I have some mint growing in a grow box, Lizzie. Not all over the place.
Good for you.
And some of the leaves are nice and big and gorgeous. And then some of them are just like Swiss cheese. They've got so many little tiny holes in them. And it's kind of in a sort of a bushy area. There's other plants around it and stuff, so sometimes it's kind of in the shade. And I do have some slugs that I'm trying to work to get rid of. But what could be putting the holes in the mint leaves?
It could be a number of different insects. So I would just cut those stems off since mint is so prolific. You're not going to miss them. And they could be under the leaf. They could be in the shrubs around your mint plant. It's an insect issue. But go ahead and just cut them off and throw them away.
Okay. And then I just wanted to make a comment for anybody out there that has a North Fork Island pine that is totally brown like mine. Mine is a good size. I'm going to say maybe 15 feet tall. And it went almost totally brown. Some of the leaves were part brown, part almost green. But we noticed this past week that if you look at the base of those old limbs that we haven't cut off yet, there's little green sprouts starting to come back out.
That is very good. Yes, it's taken this long, but yes, they will recover. And then you can slowly just cut off the brown branches. So that's good. I'm so glad you can see that.
He hasn't gotten to the rest of them yet. I was just encouraged to know because I see so many of the what looks like totally dead ones as I drive around Winter Haven. And so I hope people will give them a chance to come back.
There you go. Thank you so much, Colette. Have a great day. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Polly in Oviedo. Good morning, Polly. How can I help you? Hey.
Doing okay?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Okay, quickly. Yeah, so my question is, I don't know if it's exactly a garden question, but it's about mosquito dunks that you talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I started using them mid-April. So I put, I live in a neighborhood that has like a zero lot line kind of neighborhood yard, not real big. I put one in the front and one in the back in sort of like a oval planter. I got it at Dollar Tree, actually, like a pot, because they say to put it in a pot. And I put some vegetation in it, some leaves, a little bit of bark from my tree. And, I changed it. It said a month, but I changed it after 3 weeks because, honestly, they look so, like, murky, mucky, gunky in there. Is that normal? And there is kind of like for lack of a better word, it looks like a layer of sort of foam, but it's moving around. I don't know if that is the larva. It's in the front and the back. They're sort of grouped together. Looks like scum, sort of. They're moving all the time, and I look with a magnifying glass. Is this what it's supposed to do?
It is. It's something that is not mosquito larva. It could be something else, some other little moth or something like that. But it shouldn't. I would go ahead and dump it out, and then keep the mosquito dunk in it, and just freshen the water.
Okay, should I not put any vegetation in it?
There's no reason to.
Stick some leaves and twigs and et cetera. Yes,
well, if you want to, you can. I don't necessarily do that, but it's not going to, eliminate or hurt the mosquito dunks at all. So it's working. And so, that is normal for it to do that.
Okay. I have seen a couple of mosquitoes, but I'm sure it's not 100%.
Well, you see mosquitoes, but you don't see the larva. So the mosquito flew into your yard, yes. But when they lay eggs, then the mosquito in the water, then the mosquito dunks kill them. So that's what you're doing. You're not getting new ones.
Doing it all summer. Keep going with it.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. And if you have time for another quick question, I don't know if you.
Real,
I didn't mention
real quick.
To Lizzie, but I don't know if you do or not.
Real quick
about
real quick.
Mulch.
What about?
Yeah, I use the No Float Cypress because I don't like that colored stuff. I think it looks more prettier natural.
Right.
Is that a good choice?
Sure, mulch is, mulch is mulch as far as it, you want to put down 3 to 4 inches to make sure there's no sunlight. So your choice of mulch is up to you. I like to look at it from a design perspective, but yes, that is just fine. Not a problem. I don't have a favorite.
I don't like mulch at all, but my homeowners want it, so I put it down.
You definitely need it.
I know. It blows away when you blow the yard. You know, it's crazy.
Well, the thing is that you have to have it so that it's, you know, what I would do if it floats away is make sure you're controlling that water area, the gutter coming down around it. And then also, too, you can put a little swale right before your curb or the street. And that will catch it. And if it's coming down fast enough, you may not have it applied correctly on the ground. So don't have it so high that it mulches off. Three inches is all you need, and that usually stays pretty cool. Okay?
Yeah. It blows away when I blow the yard. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't rain away. Like when I have huge trees and I have leaves and I have to blow the yard and it just sort of goes into the grass, so it's annoying. But anyway.
Well, no, the thing is if you've got that many leaves, I would use the leaves as mulch. Put that up around your shrubs and
blow away with the wind. I don't know.
There you go. Thank you.
Sycamore trees. So if that tells you anything, I have 4 giant sycamores, and I know they're a pest, but they're here, and that's the way it is.
There you go. We'll just do it once or twice a year, and you won't have to do it anymore. Thank you. Let's go to Diana Kissimmee. Good morning, Diane.
Hi. I'm another one of those zero lot line people.
I know.
And I had to cut down the maple tree that the builders put in the yard because the roots were lifting up my driveway. Mm-hmm. And the roots, I have roots all over that small section that's available that is not concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to put, because the maple had shade, the house is just sitting there in the sun. I'd like to get some kind of a tree. I like trees. I like shade. So why did I move to Florida? What kind of a tree can I get that is not going to have roots that are going to damage the house because they're so close?
So it's going to go in that 10 to 15. An olive tree would work, but also crepe myrtles would do nicely. You can get some of the larger ones, but they don't have a deep, invasive root system. Also, some fringe trees will work. You can also do down in Kissimmee, the Tibuchina tree will give you some shade. And there's quite a few other ones, varieties, but I've got a hard break coming up at the end of the show. So, Diane, what I'm going to do is next week, I'm going to talk about some trees that you can plant that don't have a deep and penetrating root system that will damage your homes. How's that for you?
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I envy both of you with your large yards you have planting all this stuff.
I do not have a large yard.
Yes, she has a real small yard, believe it or not.
I do have a really small yard. It's 50 by about 100. That's it. So thank you so much, Diane.
It goes down to the back 40.
There you go, yes. Diane. Thank you so much. I'll take care of that next week with the trees for the root system. Thank you. Lizzie, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yes, and thank you to our callers, because as you just saw, this rapid fire of phone calls, the listeners, you guys make our job amazing. So thank you. And there's never a dumb question.
Never.
Never a dumb question.
I will answer some more gardening questions next week. And Diane, I'll give you some trees that don't have a deep root system. We'll have it. Thank you to Melanie Kester, the president of the Manatee River Garden Club. If you would like to do your random acts of gardening, you let them know, hashtag Manatee River Garden Club. And their website is manateerivergardenclub.com. Thank you to Dana Venrick, too. We love having him as a sponsor of the show. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show and you'd like to recap any episode, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.